God. Wasn't that incredible? Wow. Great. And you know, when we applaud like that, we're honoring the God that we just worshiped through that music. And we rejoice in Him tonight. I tell you, amen. Amen. I love to worship before I speak and before I preach. I want to meet God through music and worship. And boy, I tell you, I got what I called the holy goosebumps a few moments ago with you guys, because y'all did the Matt Redman song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And I had picked up a CD, the Passion CD, that has that on it a few weeks ago. And I've been praying for this week and praying for the campus. I'm from North Carolina. Those of you that are students that weren't here this morning when I talked about this is my home state. And I love this school, and I've been praying for the school. And I was spending some prayer time, and I just felt led to worship God during my prayer time, specifically for Southeastern. And I turned on the CD, and I had played a part of it the day before, and I just hit the button that kind of picks up where I left off, and it was on that song. And man, that song just gripped my heart, and I sang it over and over and over again, where I almost didn't need the words today to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be His glorious name." And so I've been walking around campus today, and I've been kind of singing that song, kind of humming it to myself, and thanking God for what He's doing here, what He's going to do here, and here we sing it tonight. So I got the holy goosebumps. That's good. And I liked it. Well, how's everybody doing? Y'all okay? Is everybody got plenty of pizza? We need to bring more in or anything? No? Can't do that. Okay, because I don't know, how many pieces did anybody eat tonight? Did anybody like break the all-time world record? What's the most number? Anybody eat like more than 5 pieces of pizza tonight? Anybody eat more than 10 pieces of pizza tonight? Y'all are wimps. My son is almost 13, and last year he broke like the pizza eating record of the universe, because at Stevie B's Pizza, the place in our town where everybody goes for pizza, he ate in one sitting 27 pieces of pizza. Yeah, he's the man. Yeah. Of course, I think to break the record officially, you have to keep it down longer than an hour. So it may not be official. But have you guys seen this show called Fear Factor? How many of y'all have seen that show? Would you eat that stuff for $50,000? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe for $50 million that I could give to the kingdom of God and fulfill the Great Commission or something, I would eat, you know, pig blood and giant worms and spider eggs and all this kind of crazy stuff that they do on the show. But I got to tell you, I got 3 kids, and the youngest one is almost 13 now. But when they were little kids, they kind of, I mean, little bitty kids, you know, they, toddlers, they kind of created their own Fear Factor show. Because my kids would eat the strangest stuff, and each one of them kind of had a different specialty. So my little son, Trey, when he was real little, one day he was starting to crawl around, and we lost him. We were living in Dallas, Texas, and we lost him. And my wife is saying, "Where is Trey? Where is Trey?" And I'm running around looking for him and calling for him. Can't find him anywhere. I'm starting to get really afraid. And then I noticed that the door to the garage is cracked open. Well, now, you don't want a little guy crawling around out in the garage. Lots of stuff out there that can hurt him. Well, I'm really scared now. I throw open the door, and there he is, sitting in front of the dog food bowl, having himself a snack, covered in Alpo from head to toe. Well, my middle child, Amy, she's a great young lady. I wish she could be here tonight. Any of y'all play volleyball? Any of you girls play volleyball? It's a cool sport. My daughter Amy is on what may be the finest volleyball team in the state of Georgia, for real. They're ranked number 2 in the state, all classification. Great, great young lady. Loves Jesus with all her heart. But when she was little, she drank poison. At any turn, she'd eat poison, drink poison. And we had like a direct dial line at the poison control center, because she was always eating some kind of poisonous stuff. And one day my wife was polishing the furniture. You know, she's polishing the furniture. And over here she's got the lemon pledge liquid, the old England, whatever the stuff is, the liquid furniture polish. And she just turns around like this just for a minute, turns back around, and Amy is slugging it down. That scared us. That stuff's dangerous. She didn't die, but she had, you know, like lemon fresh breath for months after that. But the best one is my daughter Christy. Now, my daughter Christy, she is a sold-out missionary girl for Jesus, sophomore in college right now. But when she hates it when I tell this story, especially if she's there. But when she was real little, I would bring her fishing with me. And she couldn't fish. I mean, she was a little baby, but she liked to go, and she just kind of crawl around on the bank, and I'd be fishing on one of these, we called them tanks. They're ponds, for, you know, for us, but tanks, we called them in Texas. And I'd go out there and fish. So I brought her with me one day, and I put out a catfish line and set it down, and I said, now, Christy, you stay right here. Don't you get close to the water. And I'm walking along casting for bass along the bank, and I'm watching to make sure she stays away from the water, and she was. But as I got a little ways around the pond there, I looked back and I thought, what is she doing? And then I realized what she was doing. For a catfish, I had gotten these big, long, about 8-inch Canadian night crawlers, and she was playing with them. She'd gotten into it. She's playing with them. I said, she's got one of those worms. She picked it up like this, looked at it, smiled, and popped it in her mouth. Well, this thing's hanging out of her mouth and just wiggling everywhere, and I go, ah, you know, and I take off running. And Christy, I'm yelling at her, but it's too late. You ever see anybody eat pasta? Right down the hatch. I told her mama about it about 3 years later. Now, you know what? We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. We kind of choose fear factor stuff for our life, and we don't have to. See, I'd have given my kids any good thing they wanted to eat. They'd just tell me what they want. I'd give it to them to eat. But they eat dog food, poison, and worms, you know? Strange. But you know, God has so much goodness for you in your life. So much to pour. I got to tell you, I can't take it all in. I can almost not contain myself when I get a chance to worship God like I did with you guys tonight. Because He has poured out His blessings on me. Now, my life's not always been easy. But I got to tell you, I got to have the greatest life on the earth. And I know there's not one little ounce of it that I have apart from Jesus. And you know what? He offers you the same goodness that He offers everyone. I'm nothing special. He loves you. He died for you. But so often we hear all that God offers us and we choose, you know, spiritual dog food and poison and worms and some of the junk, you know, that you know is going on where you go to school and with your friends and it tempts you and sometimes you go that direction and it doesn't lead anywhere. Maybe misery, maybe death, but it doesn't lead to joy and peace and it doesn't lead to Jesus and all the good things He offers. So why would we choose those things? I want to show you tonight a teenager. I call him a student, but I don't know if he was in school at this point, because this was 600 years before Jesus. Turn to Jeremiah, if you got a Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. And this guy was your age, many of your ages. He was a teenager. And he had some choices to make, and he had to choose whether he was going to feed his life on the junk of the world or whether he was going to take the invitation that God gave him to an incredible life. And I want to tell you, when this day came in the life of a teenager named Jeremiah, it was the most important day of his life. And I believe that for some of you, many of you, tonight is the most important night of your life. And I got to tell you, I'm not just saying that I believe that because I had a night just like this in a setting not too different from this. I'll tell you about it in a little while. And that was many years ago. What, about 28 years ago? And I want to tell you, to this day, it was the most important night of my life. So I'm not exaggerating. For many of you, this night is the most important night of your life. And I want to read you the story of this young man named Jeremiah. And look what happened to him. Look at the choice that he made, because some of you are going to have a chance to make this choice, choices like this tonight. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. This is Jeremiah. God spoke to a teenager, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And God, just as you wanted to do something incredible in the life of this teenager named Jeremiah, you want to do it tonight and for the rest of the lives of teenagers here in this place, students all over this place. and even adults here in this place. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd open our eyes to what you want to do, and most of all, open our eyes to what you offer us in life, that we wouldn't trade it for anything less. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. You guys like football? I love football. Played till they made me quit. Now my son's middle school linebacker, and I got the game ball in his first game the other day. And man, I love having a son now I can watch play football. If you're a football player, who you think is the greatest defensive back who ever played the game? Oh, come on. Trent Lott. Ronnie Lott. I'm sorry. I thought you said Trent Lott. No. How about Deion Sanders? Yeah, oh, man. No. Deion's the greatest who ever played the game. Now, a couple of years ago, I got to meet Deion. As you may not know this, but Deion has given his life to Jesus. And Deion and I were speaking together to a youth conference, and we began to talk. And I said, man, tell me your story. How did all this come about? And I'm going to tell you a little bit of what he told me that night. He said, before I met Christ, he said, I had everything that you could have, everything that you could want, rich, and had attention from the whole world. He said, you talk about attention from women. He said, basically, sex controlled my whole life. He said, I had success in every kind of way. He said, I played for the 49ers, and I won the Super Bowl. And he said, you know what I did the night I won the Super Bowl? I said, what'd you do? He said, I went to the hotel room, locked the door, and cried myself to sleep. He said, I thought, now I've accomplished. I've accomplished everything I'd set out for, and I'm miserable. What do I do next? So he thought, well, I'll go to another team and win it twice, 2 years in a row. Nobody does that. So he goes to the Cowboys, and he wins it again. He said, you know what I did the second year? Cried myself to sleep. Locked the hotel room. People knocking on the door. Deion! He said, women were knocking on my door. Deion, let us in! He said, I just cried myself to sleep. He said, I realized I was lost, miserable, no hope. Then he got suicidal, wanted to take his own life. Until one night, on the most important night of his life, he personally met Jesus as his Savior. And he told me, he said, John, everything changed in my life. He said, I can't even describe to you how God began to change my life. He told me the story. He said, you know, my life had been controlled by sex. He said, that controlled every waking thought. And he said, after I got saved, I still had struggles in my life. But he said, one night, got through with an away football game, and I came back to the hotel. And when I went into the hotel room, opened the door, there were two beautiful women in my hotel room. And the reason they were there is that before I was a Christian, whenever I would go to that city, the people at the hotel knew that these two women would come to be with me and have sex with me, and they'd let them in my room. I forgot to tell them not to do it, and so there these two women are in my room. Hi, Deion. He said, I felt my heart begin to pound. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden I realized, I'm a different person. He said, I said, ladies, I'm sorry, but you're in the wrong room. He said, I'm not the same Deion I used to be. I said, what? And I'm sorry, ladies, you'll have to leave. He opened the door and out they went. He said, suddenly I start walking around like this. I start pacing the floor. He said, I started getting excited. I realized I'm more excited than when I played in the Super Bowl. He said, I picked up the phone and I called my mama. He said, my mama knows all my struggles. And she answered. She goes, hello? I said, mama. I said, no. I said, no. I said, no. He said, John, he said, I realize I won two Super Bowls and was miserable, but the night I realized that Jesus set me free to live a life that mattered was the greatest night of my life. And that's why this can be the greatest night of your life. Jesus didn't come to take away your fun. Jesus didn't come to give you a life that's going to be boring. No way. I'm writing a book right now. The whole thesis of it is that God didn't want you to ever have a boring day. Good days, bad days, but never a boring day. The greatest adventure you'll ever know in life is following Jesus. And that's what Jeremiah found out, and that's what God wants you to find out tonight. Now, how do you go there? How do you have that life? Well, number one, you've got to realize that God knows who you are. God knows exactly who you are. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and God said, before I formed you in the womb, before you were born, inside your mother, I knew you. I knew you. Now, let's get real. Nobody really knows you, do they? I mean, nobody really knows you. Not in the moments that you spend alone. Sometimes you want somebody to really know you, don't you? Sometimes you think, I wish somebody really understood me. I wish my parents understood me. I wish people at school understood me. I wish somebody accepted me. We all feel that way sometimes. Sometimes you don't want someone to really know you.
because you're afraid of what would happen if they really knew you. But you know what? God really does know you. Before you were born, He knew you. He formed you. He shaped you. Here's the amazing thing. He loves you just the way you are. He knows all of it. He knows all of it. And He loves you. He cherishes you. He dreams about the life He has for you. That's how much He loves you. He loved Jeremiah that way. He loved you that way. And you know what? God also knows the great things He created you to be. Before you were born, He said, I set you apart. That's a powerful phrase. It means He prepared you for a special purpose and set you apart as special from anyone else on the whole earth. You. God has made you for a special purpose for Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Can you imagine? You know, you're Jeremiah. You know, you just kind of walk around. You're being a teenager, being a student. You know, everything's cool. And all of a sudden, God says, hey, I knew you before you were born, and I've already appointed you to be a prophet to the whole nation. You're going to preach to the nations. Wow. Wow. What an opportunity. I don't know what specifically God has for you, but I know this. He knows it. Dreams about it for you, because He also knows that if you want to, you can turn away from that. You see, you need to realize God knows who you are. He knows the good, the bad, all of that stuff in you, loves you the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He wants to take you to all you can be. But listen, here's the second thing. You want to go to this kind of life that Deion Sanders found, this kind of life that anybody can find? You got to realize that God knows who you are. But then you got to realize God won't accept your excuses. God won't accept your excuses. No, He talks to Jeremiah, tells him what he wants to do, and Jeremiah says, Lord, I'm just a child. Just a child. He was really kind of exaggerating. He's a teenager, but he goes, I'm just a little child, Lord. You've got the wrong person, not me. And listen, many of you are constantly thinking, you know, maybe one day when I'm older, maybe one day then, you know, I'll think about God. But right now, I'm just a teenager. I'm just a student. You know, God loves to use students to change the world. In fact, when we look and see the great movements of God where He's touched down and really changed whole nations, I'll tell you about that in just a moment. You know where He usually starts? Students, teenagers. Often because sometimes the hearts of adults are a little too crusty for Him to break through and use. So you got to make a decision. God's speaking to you tonight. Some of you, He's saying, you know what? This is your night to meet me personally. This is it. This is your night. I've prepared you for this. Well, Lord, I'm just a teenager. I'm just a student. Maybe later, God, when I'm older. No, God says. You see what God said to Jeremiah? No, He said. Don't say this. Don't say. Literally, He kind of said, shut up, Jeremiah. Don't say it. That's what He said. Don't say it. Don't say that you're just a teenager. Because I want to use you right where you are for who you are. I was in Uganda, talked about this morning with my son a year or so ago, and I met a young man, and he's many of your age. He was about 17 years old, 16, 17, and he came to me and he dressed pretty ragged clothes. He began to tell me his story. He'd learned broken English in school. He said, you know, my dad is dead of AIDS. He said, my mother will soon be dead of AIDS. He's about to be an orphan. And he got big tears in his eyes. And he said, I want to be first in my family too. And he was trying to say it in English, too. I said, what? What do you want to be first in your family? I want to be first in my family to be someone. To be someone. Oh, my heart just reached out to this young man. This young man is not going to have a dad or a mom, and he has no possessions, almost virtually nothing. But he's saying, I want to be someone. But you know, your heart yearns for that too, don't you? You want your life to count. You want your life to matter. You don't want to be isolated and alone and have a meaningless life. Well, listen, God said to Jeremiah, you'll never have to have a meaningless life. I've already prepared a great life for you. And He says the same thing to every one of you. But you've got to decide whether you'll answer Him and say yes or no. Because God won't accept your excuses. No, He thinks too much of you to let you say, maybe later, God. He's interested in what you'll do tonight, because for many of you, this is the most important night of your life. For me, it was in 1975. I had never once heard any message like this. I was 15 years old. I had never heard anybody tell me that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus. I had a great mom and dad, but they'd been saved as teenagers, but they became a part of another denomination, and we didn't know what was happening, but the denomination was drifting away from the Bible. I'd go to church on Sundays, and the pastor would open the newspaper and read it and talk about it. And I'd just go, "Oh, Lord, get me out of here as quick as possible." I mean, church meant zero to me. There was nothing in it that said anything to me. Totally irrelevant to my life. I never heard that Jesus wanted to set me free, change me forever, give me a life like he talks about in the Bible. I'm in study hall one day. Hendersonville High School, Hendersonville, North Carolina. And I'm sitting there, just, you know, studying, thinking, I think algebra or something like that. And this girl turns around. Her name's Dottie. Long, straight, blonde hair like they had in the 70s. Pretty girl. She turns around. She goes, "John, I want to ask you something." And I thought, she's nervous. What's she nervous for? I started thinking, hey, maybe she, you know, hey, maybe this is good, you know. Hey, you know, if you're nervous talking to, you know, somebody of the opposite sex, you know what that usually means. I'm thinking, okay, she likes me, you know, this is good. And she says, I'm in this youth choir. I'm thinking, okay, I don't care. What else? She said, I didn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking. She said, and we're singing tonight at my church. And I'm going, don't care about that either. What else, you know? And she said, I'm just wondering if you would come and listen to us. I'm thinking, okay, I think that I'll go anywhere basically that you ask me to go, you know. So that's where I went, you know. And I went with absolutely wrong motives. Maybe you showed up tonight because you're thinking, pizza, all right, you know. Or maybe you showed up tonight because some good-looking girl invited you or some good-looking guy invited you. I don't know. But that's why I went. And I walked into First Baptist Church, Hendersonville, North Carolina, and I watched this group of students stand up here, and they rocked out with music that in my day was like this. You know, it was music that I went, wow, I like that. That sounds like music that I like. And I started listening. And then this guy stood up, and he began to talk. And it connected with me. But he talked like I'd never heard before. And he told stories from the Bible that I realized that could apply to me. And at the end of that message, he said, you know what? He said, tonight could be the most important night in your life. Because tonight, you could meet Jesus personally. He said, I'm not talking about having religion or even joining this church necessarily. He said, I'm talking about you meeting Jesus tonight. And God began to speak to me, and I thought, that's it. That's what I'm missing. That's what I've been missing all my life. And I stood up, and as I stood up, there was a football player on my team beside me, and I think some pretty girl invited him too. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to go down there. I don't know what I'm doing. They said to go down there, and that's where I'm going to go because that's what I need. He went, he laughed at me. I remember, the first thing I remember about getting up to come and respond to Jesus was somebody laughing at me. I knew that meant that serving Jesus might not be easy. But I want to tell you to this day, I want to tell you, when I came forward that night and met that pastor, he shared with me, and then a minister of music and youth, both of them still my dear friends, he prayed with me to meet Jesus. I was utterly changed, and I've never gotten over it after all these years. And you know, I never thanked Dottie for inviting me to church. Never thanked her. You know, you're a teenager, you just feel funny going up, hey, thank you for inviting me to church. You know, I never did it. Should have, never did. But the 20-year high school reunion, 1998, I had one person I wanted to find. And there she was. And I went up to her and I began to talk. I said, Dottie, I owe you an apology. She said, why? I said, I never thanked you for doing the greatest thing for me anybody ever did. She said, what are you talking about? I said, Dottie, don't you remember sitting in study hall one day and inviting me to come to church? She said, yeah, I'd thought of that in years. I said, Dottie, I said, let me tell you about my life. And I told her about my life and all the blessings of my life. And I said, Dottie, every one of those blessings, my wife, my children, my church, my life, I owe to you for what you did that day. She began to cry. She said, you know, my husband was killed not too long ago. And she goes, I got to tell you, I've been wondering lately if my life means anything. And I said, Dottie, listen, if you're ever tempted to think that again, you need to know every good thing in my life is because of what you did when you invited me to church all those years ago and I met Jesus and it changed my life. And it might be that that's exactly what's about to happen in some of your lives in just a moment. And it'll be the most important night of your life. Remember, one more thing. Realize this. God can do something great with you. He knows you, and he won't accept your excuses, but he wants to do something great with you. He told Jeremiah, he said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to put you over nations and kingdoms. Can God really do that? I mean, could he use you in some incredible way to make a difference in the whole world? Oh, yeah. Year was 1904. The country was Wales. Spiritual deadness had settled into that nation. There were a couple of men, though, men like Joseph Jenkins and Evan Roberts, who were saying, God needs to do something in our land. And so a small group of them held a youth meeting, you know, kind of like this. I don't think they had pizza, but they came together. And you know what happened? The reason why, it was a big crowd, but the reason they came is they had nothing else to do. And they came to mock and ridicule. Because, you know, there wasn't the internet or video games or anything. Can you imagine? Not even any PlayStation. I mean, nothing. You know? So they just came. And they're throwing stuff and just carrying on, having a great time. To the point that they weren't even listening. Nobody could hear what the speakers were saying. Finally, the speakers just knelt, began to pray. Now, what would happen if one of you just stood up? Let's just do it. Just stand up. Yeah, right there. Just stand up. Now, everybody look. What's everybody doing? Everybody's looking at her. What's your name? I'm sorry? Amanda. Now, everybody's looking at Amanda. Aren't you glad, Amanda, that everybody's looking at you at the moment? Everybody's looking at Amanda. Why? Because nobody else is standing up. Well, that's what happened. You can sit down. Thanks. That's what happened. A teenage girl stood up, 16 years old. Her name was Flory Evans. Pretty soon people started going, what's she standing up for? And everybody got quiet. And then Flory Evans said these words, if no one else will say it, I will. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. And before those students left that night, God's Spirit had swept across that place and began to save those students one by one, set them free. They went out from there and became a part of a massive revival that swept over that whole country and then swept across the seas all the way to our country. And when it did, there was a man here that most of you have never heard of. His name was Mordecai Ham. Isn't that a weird name? Mordecai Ham. Who ever heard of him? What difference did he make? Well, because of that great revival that started in the midst of that young lady standing up in that youth service, Mordecai Ham was called to preach. And one day later on, he was preaching, and a young man came forward to accept Jesus, and his name was Billy Graham. And half of the world has heard the good news of Jesus because a long time ago, a teenage girl stood up on the most important night of many people's lives and stood for him. And because of that, the world has never been the same. Students, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And he is here for you. And he's here for you right now. And if you're ready to meet him, if you're ready to answer his call, then remember this, he has formed you, he has made you, he has prepared you for something great. He won't accept your excuses, but if you're ready, he's going to do more in your life than you can ever dream, because this is the most important night of your life. Bow your heads. God, I pray. Right now, Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty, mighty work in the lives of students here. Lord, there are some students here that are going to meet you tonight, just like I did all those years ago, and they're never going to be the same. Lord, there's some students here tonight that are already believers, but Lord, there's going to be some things happen in their life tonight that'll ensure that they're able to have the life you mean for them to have. And Lord, there's some others here. They're pretty much on fire for you, but right now you're calling them. You're calling them to a life of serving you. They're going to be students here one day. Or students maybe at some other places, but you're calling them to serve you with their whole life. They're going to be ministers and missionaries, and some of them are going to go out into the secular world, and they're going to take you with them everywhere they go, and they know right now your calling is on their life, just like your calling was on Jeremiah's life. And I pray right now, God, that your Spirit would settle over this place and that not one student would leave here tonight without responding to your call in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, look here. Here's what we're going to do, and we're going to finish in just a moment. If you're ready to be a counselor tonight, I want you to come right now, and I want you to stand here. If you're a counselor, if you're a student, you're equipped and you're ready, you know that you're going to be a counselor, you step out right now and you come and you stand right here and be ready to help these students. Because listen, when I came forward 28 years ago, there were people there to talk to me. And that's what these people are here to do. They're here to talk to you. They're here to pray with you, to be here for you to say, I want to know Jesus. Or Jesus is working in my life. Or you know what? I think He's calling me. I think He's calling me to serve Him in some special way. If you're ready, He's going to do something in your life greater than anything that you have ever known, anything that you've ever seen. Here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, music's going to play. We got some folks going to play. And in just a moment, I'm going to say stand up. Now, when you stand up, here's my challenge to you. If you know tonight that this is your night, that God's calling you, don't wait to see what your friend's going to do. Because you know what? Your friend may not want to be your friend when you follow Jesus. He may not. She may not. Your decision tonight is, will you follow Jesus no matter what? And so in just a moment, as soon as I say stand up, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. I want you to leave where you are. I want you to walk down this aisle. I want you to come to one of these folks and you tell them, I want to know Jesus tonight. That's it. That's all you have to do. Because they're trained and ready to say, great, I want to pray with you and show you how. You come and say, I want to know Jesus tonight. You got that? It's not hard. I want to know Jesus tonight. And if you already know Him, you're sure you do, but you need someone to talk to pray with, they're here for you. If you know that tonight He's putting a calling on your life, then you step out too, and you come, and you say, pray for me. God's calling me in a special way. Now, are you ready? It's the most important night in your life. Lord, make these students ready. Make them ready right now to do exactly what You've called them to do and not to wait one more moment to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready? Stand up right now and you come and do what Jesus is calling you to do. Right now, you come.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether worthy, not altogether lovely, not altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore You. Hope of a life spent with You. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, not altogether worthy, not altogether wonderful to me.
Now listen, I want to tell you something. We've got an enemy. You know that? You have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's very real. It's funny how we sometimes believe God is real, but not Satan. Don't you see evidence of evil in this world? Sure we do. 9/11 pretty much settled that. We have an enemy. He's evil. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. And his primary way that he attacks is through lies. And that's what he's doing in some of you right now. He said, no, don't listen to this. There's plenty of time. Later. Or it doesn't apply to you. That's, if you're hearing anything like that, the voice you're hearing whispering to you is the voice of the enemy himself. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that no student here would listen to the lying voice of our adversary, our enemy. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that they would hear only You right now. Lord, many students right now are meeting You. Father, it's the greatest thing in the world. I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over seeing it happen. And Lord, there are students here, many students, they're seminary students. They're here preparing their whole life because they've never gotten over it either. Father, high school students, middle school students, there's many of them here. And right now, the enemy's whispering to them, Lord, defeat him in Jesus' name. We resist Satan in Jesus' name. And I pray right now, these students would hear Your voice and respond. In the name of Christ, I pray. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing one more stanza. We're about to finish. Who are you going to listen to, students? A lot of students right now are listening to God. You can too. You can too. Don't walk out of here wasting the chance He gives you. In just a moment, we're going to start singing. As we sing, you step out too. We're going to rejoice over you as you come. We're for you here. You may go to school and have a tough time following Jesus. We're for you here. So you step out and you come, and there's folks here waiting for you. Wait, if they're all busy, you come to me and I'll pray with you. But you come right now. Let's sing, praise, worship Him. Who will be the next one to come give your life to Jesus? You come on right now.
King of all things, oh so highly exalted.
You need to do. If you brought a friend tonight, you invited them and they don't know Christ, you're not sure if they do, while we're singing this, just nudge them and just whisper, hey, I'll go down there with you if you want to. And that's the best thing a friend could ever do. And then after the stanza, we're going to finish. This is it. This is it. Come on, get ready. God's changing lives. It's the greatest thing in the world. Get in on it right now. Let's sing. Praise Him. Here we are to worship Him right now. Let's sing together one more time.
I'll never know how much it costs to see myself upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs to see myself upon that cross. Here I
We magnify You and praise Your name tonight. We thank You that once again You have kept Your word. You have promised us that when we share Your word, when Your word goes out, it will never return empty. And we thank You that tonight there are students who are meeting You for the first time. Lord, there are students that are receiving a calling on their life that are going to make a difference in this world. And we're encouraged tonight, Jesus, because You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what You did in my life 28 years ago, You're doing in students' lives right here tonight, and You're going to do it until You return. And Jesus, we will follow You until that day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Have a seat just for a moment. Isn't God good? Praise His name. Thank You for what He's done. Alan?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Avan, for sharing God's word with us tonight. You want to say praise the Lord tonight, and thank you, Dr. Avant, for sharing what God laid on your heart. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Say, praise the Lord. Now, we're going to dismiss in just a moment. I just want to say two things as we go tonight. First of all, somebody may be here tonight. You know Christ is in your life. You are saved. You are a Christian. And yet you also know God's been dealing with you about something special like He did Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I've got a plan to use you in a great way. God may be speaking to somebody like that in that way. You didn't come forward, but it's still in your heart, still in your mind. You may be around a youth minister from your church or pastor or some of us around on the way home tonight, later on tonight, maybe even weeks from now. God's laid it on your heart. Find somebody to talk to about that, because around here at Southeastern, we're in the business of helping people to follow God's call on their lives. And so if you know that call in your life, then we want to help you in that way. But also there may be somebody here tonight that you know the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you and you're just scared to death. I know what it's like to be scared like that. I waited for years to receive Christ because I was just scared to walk down in front of people. Maybe that was somebody like that here tonight. And on the way home, find somebody you know who knows the Lord and say, hey, I'd like to do what he asked us to do tonight to receive Christ. Hey, does anybody here tonight believe that, you know, a hymn has to be playing and people have to, and you have to be in church to become a Christian? No. God knows who you are. And he's willing to come into your life at any time. He's waiting. Well, we just want to say we're glad you are here tonight, and especially youth ministers and others that help young people to get here. Thank you so much for your help. Dr. Avant, thanks again for the great message from God's Word tonight. And I don't believe there's any other word. We hope to see our students back here in the morning in chapel at 10 o'clock. So let's be dismissed. Come back to Southeastern anytime.